Hello and warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and it's Steve Palmer with a busy show for you today. Three tournaments to review, three tournaments to preview. I hope you're feeling well, Steve Palmer.
Well, you know full well I'm not. What goes up must come down. I mean, I was really hungry for action last week. I couldn't have been hungrier, and I picked a bad week to be hungry because the golf was very challenging last week. Painful Sunday morning, and then, yeah, an even more painful Monday morning because tonsillitis has arrived on the scene. But don't worry, I'm a professional. I will battle through this.
Do you think you're going to sort of exert any energy you've got left for this and then sort of collapse in a heap post-show?
Tonight I'll collapse in a heap. There's lots of work to be done. But yeah, you won't be getting any fancy pronunciations of Japanese players today, that's for sure.
Okay. Let's take a look back at last week's tournament. It was a busy one. Should we start with LIV Golf, Steve? Because I know you like to work in chronological order when you've got six tournaments.
Yeah,
that's challenging for a small brain like mine. So I think it was LIV Golf that finished first,
yes,
wasn't it?
Last it week? Was. It finished just prior to the Japanese one.
It was won by Brendan Steele. It was this was LIV Golf at its liviest. Is that if that's a word? It was just balmy, wasn't it?
It should be a word. I mean, yeah. Brendan Steele won the individual competition, 125-1. I don't think many in the punting community would have been pleased for Brendan Steele. I mean, that he was very difficult to find. That's his maiden LIV title. His average LIV golf finishing position this year, prior to last week, was 30.6. You know, bear in mind these are 54 runner events. He finished 29th in LIV Adelaide last year. So, yeah, Steele would have been, I don't know whether anyone backed Brendan Steele. Let us know if you did, and we'll give you a hearty pat on the back. Wackham Neiman, I think, was the right bet. I don't regret that one. He was better the week at 11-1, and I was following his progress closely. Just missed a couple of chances down the stretch, Jay. Yeah, a couple of missed putts down the stretch. Finished third, only two shots behind the winner. You know, really solid golf all week, really solid golf all year. But the individual competition completely overshadowed, wasn't it, by the team event. You know, last week, we discussed team golf this week because you had team golf in the Zurich Classic, which was gripping, and you had team golf in LIV Adelaide that was gripping, and the Rippers. I expect you've got plenty to say about the Rippers.
Well, absolutely. It was gripping for Racing Post Sport followers and yourself, Steve, because a good signpost this, you know, you tip on the Sweet Spot, of course, but there's a kind of day-to-day action over on the Racing Post Sport website. You put up Team Ripper at 12-1. They won in a playoff. I'm still not sure where I stand with LIV Golf, but it was entertaining, I think, if you take it all with a slight pinch of salt.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel bad for Sweet Spotters because we don't get the team tips ready in time for that. It's hard to get everything ready in time. But on the Wednesday or the Thursday, we tend to do a team tip on the LIV stuff. And the Rippers, you know, it's just a consistent team performance because this season every score counts. And previously it was just you pick your three best scores. But this was a classic team performance because Matt Jones finished ninth. Mark Leishman, Cameron Smith and Lucas Herbert all tied for 14th. So none of them did anything spectacular, but as a unit, that was enough to get in a playoff. It was our first ever team playoff. Mm. So the all-Australian side in Adelaide against the all-South African side. We mentioned the Aussie drunkards. A few overstepped the mark, but all is forgiven in the LIV circus. And it was a big party in Australia on Sunday night. Cam Smith was spotted in a casino at very late doors. I saw a video of him being applauded into a casino. So, LIV Adelaide was a big success. The LIV guys, the LIVers will be delighted with what happened.
Have you ever been applauded into a casino, Steve? Or applauded out of one?
Yeah, applauded by the proprietor.
Booed out of one.
The proprietor of a casino is always pleased to see me, but fortunately I learned very early doors that they're not places for me to hang out. Cam Smith, absolutely delighted. Yeah, it's crazy. None of them play particularly well, but they're all Australian heroes.
Well, I couldn't believe the difference between, you know, the Rippers, and I think it was the Mavericks that finished last. I think the Ripper finished on like 53 under or something for the week. Mavericks were like minus 11. It was a huge, huge difference between top to bottom.
Yeah, it's a really volatile market. It's very exciting to watch the team stuff, because Ripper had a massive lead going over the closing few holes, and then Dean Burmester and Charles Schwartzel made a few late birdies, and suddenly it's a playoff. And then the playoff format, you pick your two best players, that the captain team picks two players to go into the playoff. Every shot counts, you know, it's in a cumulative total. So it was a spectacular package. That Live Adelaide is Liv's best event, you know, they'd happily admit that, because, you know, Australians are starved of golf. You know, Australia's a golf mad country. They don't get enough stars going over there. You know, you get a handful over for the Australian Open here and there, but, you know, such a well attended event, a complete sellout. And, I was pleased for the Australians. Used to live in Australia, still got one or two friends there and about 500 enemies. So I was pleased for them.
Good. Yeah, well done to Brandon Steele and anyone that followed in with Team Ripper on the Racing Post Sport tipping section. Let's move over to the ISPS hander. It was won by Yuto Katsuragawa. I mean, thankfully, I'm full of health. I mean, that is a name that does need a healthy throat to pronounce. It was a fantastic closing round. 63, he was three behind going into the final round. Close of the 63, I think one by three in the end, didn't he, from Sebastian Soderberg. World number 434, must admit, don't know too much about the lad. But this could be the start of something.
He was 100-1 in, and he was on the shortlist. He's a good player. We've had him before. I remember Bruce and I having a big debate over the longest named players we've ever backed. And Yuto Katsuragawa went into the bronze position, I believe, behind Jas Janawatanond. Jas Janawatanond had silver, and then Nikolai von Dellinghausen, of course, was the gold medalist in that. So, yeah, we've been keeping an eye on this fella, and I considered him last week for my Japanese army. But I couldn't find room for him. You know, he had Kaita Nakajima and Takumi Kanaya, both tied 11th. You know, that was one shot shy of where I needed them to be for a return.
He was quite short in running, didn't he, Nakajima?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Sunday morning was so disappointing, because I woke up, you know, he was in third place going into the final round. I was expecting big things from Kaita. And then, you know, so early on Sunday morning to have dual action. I mean, you had Live Adelaide on the phone and you had Japan on the telly. And, you know, then two young kids and dog coming into the room and just... the senses overload. That's probably why my tonsils have given out, just telling me to take it easy. But Kaita Nakajima was a heartbreaker for a Sunday morning. Sunday mornings are not the time to be up at, you know, 5 a.m. going through those sort of emotions, are they?
Do you then sort of, I mean, so much going on so early, did you kind of crash at about one-ish? Did you have your sort of roast dinner and then go into a bit of a coma, or did you just battle through?
I couldn't. I had some work to do on Sunday morning, and then we had visitors down. My wife's friends and their family were down, so it was, you know, kids everywhere, carnage all Sunday. World Snooker Championship in the background. North London Derby was really disappointing. I hate VAR. I hate VAR so much. That was really making me angry. When that Spurs goal was disallowed, I think that was the tipping point for me. You know, the build up from the goal, the disappointment on Sunday morning, and then. I was on Tottenham draw double chance, actually. I didn't fancy Arsenal get the job done there. And when that Spurs goal, which looked perfectly legitimate goal, didn't it? In the olden days, in the good old days, it would have been allowed. When that got VAR'd, I was just, I reached a tipping point, Jack. And I think that was when my tonsils just gave out.
You must be feeling good for the snooker, though, Steve. Oh. Ronnie's ticking along.
Yeah. Ronnie is ticking along. Yeah. I think that Ronnie O'Sullivan, Judd Trump semi-final we're all expecting is essentially the final now. You know, Mark Allen was knocked out last night in a final frame decider.
See that Higgins clearance to finish up?
Yeah. The balls were set. I mean, Allen had a pot with the rest to go through there. I was on Allen to make the final. I was disappointed he got knocked out there, but it makes it easier for Ronnie in the final. So getting ahead of ourselves and talking about the wrong sport.
We are. We should talk about the Zurich Classic. It was won by Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. We said, didn't we, Steve, that I suspect that these will be a popular pick, not really based on form, but just lovable characters.
Yeah.
One in a playoff. It was the 25th PGA Tour victory for Rory McIlroy. Not, I know we weren't on them, but I enjoyed seeing them win.
Well, they went off at 15 to 2, so they were well backed. They had a whale of a time, both nice and relaxed. You know, Rory McIlroy with a smile on his face is dangerous, and he, when he's free, he was swinging with freedom. And yeah, you mentioned the romantic punters, didn't you? The romantic punters had their day, which is nice. I can imagine on Sunday night, there were lots of romantic punters counting their winnings. They're probably doing romantic things, probably doing the old spaghetti kiss. You know, I was thinking about this. What is the most romantic thing you can do is to get a piece of spaghetti in each of your mouths, isn't it? And they go... I expect there were loads of them doing that.
Was that the kind of dual action they had going on as opposed to LIV Golf and the ISPS hander that you had going on Sunday morning?
Yeah, yeah. I'm pleased for the romantics, though. Really pleased for them. Yeah, they would have been well backed. Yeah, even though they've been playing rubbish in the build-up. Yeah, this is what put me off. Yeah, maybe I need to be more romantic. I need to be more romantic and less scientific because... Yeah, they've been playing rubbish for a fortnight, and I just assume that they struggle in the foursomes. But as a unit, trying to impress each other, you know, relishing being alongside each other, banter. I mean, the banter factor, we have to factor in. Yeah, they had better banter than any other team. You know, they're just like, yeah, cuddling on their way around. Rory probably enjoyed that tournament more than any other he's played in for the last however many years. And they're singing afterwards, Jay.
Yeah.
Singing. I mean,
Was that a step far for you, or were you okay with that?
Do you know what troubled me? I don't think Rory consented to it at any point. Rory was just cajoled into it, peer pressured massively into it. And I did feel for him. I mean, he ended it with a spectacular mic drop. If you follow it to the end, he just thinks, right, I've got to escape now. They're expecting other choruses or whatever. I mean, I thought he did really well to handle it, but I don't think he consented. So I found it quite troubling. I was hoping he would change the words to, you know, if don't stop believing, wasn't it? I was really hoping he'd get so into it. He would go, don't stop believing. You can win the Masters. And I thought that would bring the house down if he'd do that. Because, you know, I guess he kind of, part of him must be stopping to believe that he can win the Masters. Does he still believe he can win the Masters? Nobody knows.
I must say this, Steve, I much prefer watching Rory singing and having a lovely time than chatting about like nonsensical PGA Tour politics. Like it's just nice to see him kind of, you know, just doing what he loves, isn't it?
Playing
great golf, winning tournaments with his best mate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was happy. He was as happy as I've ever seen him last week. He's back on the PGA Tour policy board. That would drag him down now. He probably had a big meeting on Monday morning. He might have woken up with a hangover. You know, I can't imagine he can put many away in that little body of his without having a big headache the next morning. Him and Shane Lowry are not ideal drinking partners, are they? I mean, Shane.
No, they're not.
So Rory probably had a big meeting with the PGA Tour bigwigs. He's back in it. He left it and now he's got, he can't, he says it's not moving fast enough and he's back in the game. So, but yeah, I was pleased for those guys. Yeah, it played a lot easier. The course, they set the course up much easier than I thought they would. With those wins, the wind arrived, but the scoring was still good because the PGA Tour Chiefs, you know, showed some mercy and set it up much easier. I mean, Bryce Garnett, Sepp Straka finished tied 11th. I think if they'd made the setup a bit tougher, they might have been closer to the top of the leaderboard. But no, we live and learn.
We certainly do. A fresh week, Steve. Should we get into this week's tournaments? It was there were a few positives from last week, but one of those that a little bit frustrating. Let's get on to this week's tournaments. As I say, we've got three. We've got the China Open, we've got the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, and we've got LIV Golf Singapore. We shall start in China. Worth noting as well, we'll be reading all of our prices through AK Bets. They're the proud sponsors of The Sweet Spot. You can place your first bet on a golf tournament, win a market, and get 50% of your stake back as a free bet up to £50 if your player misses the cut. Follow the link and the code is SweetSpot50 when you head over to AK Bets, usually top price on the golf. Steve, China Open, talk us through the layout for this one.
It's Hidden Grace Golf Club, Shenzhen, China, 7,147 yards, par 72, four par fives. Hidden Grace used to be called Genzon Golf Club. It has hosted five DP World Tour events. the China Open in 2014 and 2019, the Shenzhen International in 2015, 2016, and 2017. Hidden Grace also hosted the China Open in 2020 when it was merely a China Tour event, 2021 when it was a China Tour event, 2023 when it was an Asian Tour event. I think it's important to give punters the full landscape so they can do their own digging if they fancy. Generous fairways, Jack. Course is soft, paspalum grass, forecast is for windless skies. That all adds up to attacking big hitters licking their lips. We've got a field of 156 going to post. I believe it starts around 12:30 a.m. Wednesday night for UK punters.
Okay, let's take a look at the top of the market. Price is brought to you with AK Bet. We've got three joint favourites. Jordan Smith, Sebastian Soderberg and Tom McKibben, all 18-1. Yannick Paul, 22-1. Bert Wiesberger, 25s alongside Hao Tong Li, Antoine Rosner, 30s. Bigger the rest. Steve, how many selections to the China Open?
Five.
Oh, I'm so glad that wasn't four because we could have lost you. Who's the main one?
It's Tom McKibben, 18 to 1 with AK Bet. It's a sweet spot regular. Sweet spot.
He's
regular
been on the sweet spot more than I have this year.
I know you've been dreaming about him, haven't you? You've had a lot of dreams. I mean, I've been having some funny dreams. When you're on when you've got tonsillitis and you're having pills and stuff, you have lots of funny dreams. You're dreaming of Tom McKibben. I'm dreaming of all sorts of, like, snakes and stuff. But that's by the by. Such a good player at the age of 21. You know, swing to die for at 21. Effortless power, superb driver. He's become rock solid from tee to green. It's only a matter of time before he notches DP World Tour title number two. His form figures this year, if you discount the Singapore Classic when he teed up with tonsillitis. Yeah, it's impossible to even speak properly when you've got tonsillitis, let alone play good golf. But he tried it and it didn't go well. But his form figures without tonsillitis this year, Jack, are 25, 14, 16, 4, 12, 9, 7. Just a leaderboard regular. He closed with a 65 in Japan on Sunday for seventh place. Yeah, and this layout should suit him much better than last week's layout. This is a driver's track, four par fives to attack. McKibben the most likely winner for me, and it can't have helped. It can't have done any harm, sorry, that his hero won on Sunday night. McKibben would have been watching Rory win that, and you know, he'll want to partner Rory in that one day and be singing songs.
Tom McKibben, I mean, it just shows, doesn't it, that he's still, well, joint favourite this week. He is constantly at the top of the markets for the DP World Tour events. Tom McKibben, your main selection for the China Open. Who's next?
It's Bernd Wiesberger, 25-1 with AK Bets. Not many in this field have positive course experience. It's a new track for most of the field. Wiesberger has got it in spades. He won the Shenzhen International on his course debut in 2017. He was 14th on his return to the track in the 2019 China Open when he was ranked 384th in the world. He was really struggling at that point. That was his best finish of the year up to that point. This is his third visit to the track this week. He's been easing his way back into DP World Tour life after a spell on LIV. His form figures this year, he wasn't allowed to start playing until this year, and his form figures this year, 21, 37, 16, 16, miscut 24. I think he's ready to get back into title contention now. We're talking about an eight-time DP World Tour champion. Two of those victories have come in Asia, Jack, and he also won the 2013 Indonesian Masters on the Asian Tour. Ryder Cup player in 2021, easy to forget. Yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm putting on an old slipper this week, Jack. You know, it's been a while, but I'm back in Bernd Wiesberger in a DP World Tour event. It's something quite comforting about this.
And putting an old slipper on with a big price about it as well. A couple of years ago, you'd assume he'd be going off for this favourite, wouldn't you?
Oh, he's got some pedigree, this boy. And I think it was going to take time to settle back into life. You know, there's going to be a few angry stares in his direction, but he's paid his fine, or LIV Golf have paid his fine, probably more likely. I think you have to pay about $1.5 million to get back in there. But he's a DP World Tour member again. All is forgiven. Good luck to you, Bernd.
Bernd Wiesberger joins Tom McKibben. Three more to go. Who's up next?
Jesper Svensson at 40-1 with AK Betts, who, like McKibben, should fall in love with Hidden Grace. Svensson, like McKibben, blessed with great power, both hugely impressive off the tee. Svensson, a lot older, turned 28 last month, but things really starting to happen for him now. He won on the Challenge Tour last May. He made his DP World Tour breakthrough last month, a really gutsy playoff success in the Singapore Classic back in Asia this week. So, yeah, really difficult to see out of contention.
Jesper Svensson. Oh, that was a nice speedy one. Just rattled through Jesper.
Tactical, mate.
We have a lot to get through this week. Jesper Svensson, who's next?
It is Gavin Green, 66 to 1. Gavin Green is 66 to 1 with AK Bets, the pride of Malaysia. He won on the Asian Tour in 2017. We all expected him to win DP World Tour events after that. None have arrived yet, shockingly. But I think this could be the week. Three of his last six starts have yielded a top 15 finish. He was fifth in the Indian Open a month ago. He was 19th in his only previous start at this week's venue back in 2019.
Gavin Green. I remember backing him quite a lot back in the day, Gavin Green.
He's quality. And I'm absolutely staggered that he hasn't won on the DP World Tour in his 20s, but he's 30 now. His time will come. Too good to keep quiet.
It's always frustrating, isn't it, Steve, when you still refer to these people as kind of up-and-coming young protégés, and then you realise actually 10 years has passed and they're probably not anymore. often happens with footballers, I find. I'll go, oh, they'll make it soon, and they're kind of 29, and, you know.
That's it, yeah, when you're as old as me, I can still refer to Gavin Green as a youngster because I'm such an old man now. He's 30 years of old, staggeringly.
Okay, one more to go.
There's a chopper going over.
I was even going to say, that sounds quite low-flying.
Low-flying chopper. Very low-flying chopper. You're about to land in my garden.
Who's that then?
I always get in such a panic mode because I just basically spend 24 hours researching golf and then, you know, anything could be happening in the real world, you know. Are we at war with anyone? Well, I mean,
not that I'm aware of. Might be in Weymouth. Might be some sort of parish war going on.
Yeah. That was a big chopper for a parish. But we digress. The final one for the China Open. Jiang Wenko, 90 to 1 with AK Bets, who appears to have settled on the DP World Tour now. Ninth in the Kenya Open at the end of March. Fifth in the Indian Open a month ago. 11th last week in the ISPS Handa Championship. Promising player, this. Ready to win now, I think. Just turned 26. This looks an ideal course for him. Big, tall lad with a lovely swing. I think he's going to make merry this week.
Is that what you've written on those little spotlights you do? Big, tall lad with a lovely swing.
No, it just popped into my head. But yeah, I love a big, tall lad with a lovely swing. And Jiang Wenko.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Any that you were close to about putting on the list but didn't?
Yeah, loads. I mean, I'll hold my hands up. These two tournaments, the 256 runner events this week are really difficult. That's why I've needed five. Unfortunately, I need five in each to give us a chance. Not my usual style, but yeah, we've got a 5-5-2 formation this week.
Defensive. I like it. We will recap all of the selections at
illegal.
At the end of the show, let's move over to the PGA Tour. We've got the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Steve Palmer, where are we playing?
I wonder how long the referee would take to spot if you sent your football team out of a 5-5-2 formation. I mean, he'd probably play 5 minutes before they work out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I suspect it might be a nice little handicap method for Norwich in the Premier League, maybe. If we just allowed a couple more players, we might stand a chance then. Screw all this financial fair play stuff. Throw that all out of the window. Just give us a couple of extra men. That might make it competitive then.
Well, you campaign for that and I'll get on with the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which is a rubbish title, let's be honest. It is so confusing. I like to take each week as it comes. And then I saw this one and I was just like, CJ Cup, right? Is it in Korea? No, it's not in Korea. It used to be in Korea. Then he went here, went there. So they basically just put two tournaments together. Byron Nelson must be, turning his grave with this sellout to CJ Cup. But anyway, we're at TPC Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas. 7,414 yards, par 71, three par fives. It's hosted the Byron Nelson since 2021. So 3 years of course form to go on. Zoysia fairways, slow greens, a doddle for the tour pros, light to moderate breezes come in. So we're going to get loads of birdies here as well. As I say, 1-5-6 going to post in this. And I have to have five, I'm afraid. Two challenging puzzles.
Is that chopper back?
I did wonder whether that was the chopper. Yeah, not my chopper. Don't bring my chopper into this.
Rory's won this back to back, hasn't he?
Rory doesn't normally play in this one. No, but yeah, see, there's the confusion. Are you getting confused? You're getting confused Cup. With the CJ Cup. I don't know. This is the Byron Nelson and CJ Cup.
It is confusing because Rory just popped into my mind then, and I'm not seeing on the list. I'm going, why is he not playing? Yeah, he never
I had every right to have that pop in Shred, but yeah, this is essentially the Byron Nelson with the CJ Cup boys suddenly coming into. Dirty the waters.
I see. I often have useless information pop into my head, and I shouldn't have said that one. You know, when some, you know, intrusive thoughts come into your head and you should just stay quiet. That was one of those moments. Let's take a look at the top of the market with AK Betts. Jordan Spieth, your 16-1 favourite. Sweet spot regular. Siwoo Kim, 18-1. Jason Day, 20s. Will Zalatoris, 22s. Adam Scott, 28-1. Alongside Alex Noren. Bigger the rest. Five selections. Who's the first?
Adam Scott, 28-1 with AK Betts, who's been playing really solid golf for months without getting much credit for it, I'd say. 10 top 10 finishes in the last year. He was 14th in the Texas Open in his last tournament in this state. He was 22nd in the Masters last time out. He hasn't played since then, so he's a lot fresher than many in this week's field. A lot of people have gone Masters, Heritage, Zurich. He's well suited to this week's assignment, and he's well suited to this region. Four of Scott's 14 PGA Tour titles have come in Texas. He won this tournament in 2008 at a different track. His form figures at TPC Craig Ranch are 32-8. He closed with a 63 last year, so we've got a handle on this track now. We had an Aussie winner last year, Jason Day. I think we're going to get another one this year. You know, Scott's really worked hard on his putting. You know, he's got his putting sorted, it seems. He's a more complete golfer now. He's a massive fish in a small pond. I mean, I know you get upset with former world number one amateurs, but this is a former world number one professional.
we had a good comment last week about world number one amateurs, and it kind of said, you know, Steve keeps referring to these world number one amateurs being, you know, world number one for like 67 weeks, 42 weeks, 19 weeks.
Yeah,
you know. How is there this much time? If there's so many number one world amateurs, how are they at the top for so long?
Well, you spend a long time in college, don't you? I mean, you're sort of 3 years in college, and if you show early promise in your first year, and then by the time you become a freshman, as they like to say. No, what is a freshman? Is that the what is a freshman?
I don't know. You hear often hear them in like movies, don't you?
Freshman, the first year or the last year, I can't remember. But yeah, that's the answer. You spend a lot of time at college being, you know, play college golf, and then you can spend a long time as the top dog in the world amateur ranks. But, you know, I don't think anyone, well, I say Ludwig Aubert did it for a long time, but you have to respect that. I know you give me a lot of stick for it, and it, you know, sounds like a commentator was giving me a bit of stick as well. Commentator. My daughter's always going on about Dementors because she likes Harry Potter. Do you know what a Dementor is?
I'm not a massive Harry Potter fan, but I do know what a Dementor is. Yeah, I've been to Harry Potter World. That's actually quite good fun. Yeah.
Well, a Dementor sucks your soul out or something. So it goes up to your face. Never mind the spaghetti for the romantics. The Dementor goes up to your face and just goes... And sucks your soul out, and
much like a commentator sometimes if they leave.
So
I've had my soul sucked out now after a few comments, I tell you.
Very similar. Yeah, I've had a few as well, but be nice to us, come on, we're doing our best.
We'll have some nice comments after Adam Scott wins this week.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Stephen Jager, 35-1 with AK Betts, who won his maiden PGA Tour title in Texas a month ago, fended off Scottie Scheffler in the Houston Open. You know, Jager is the only player who has managed to defeat Scottie Scheffler in Scheffler's last five tournaments. It's a remarkable stat. Jager has won six times on the Korn Ferry Tour. Now he's off the mark on the PGA Tour. A quick follow-up would come as no surprise. He was 18th in the Heritage last time out. Didn't bother with the Zurich. Form figures of 38-11 at TPC Craig Ranch. Rock solid wage.
In terms of pointless answers, Bruce once went on pointless, didn't he? Players to defeat Scottie Scheffler in the 2024 season, I reckon he'd probably be a pointless answer in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, I think
he's pointless.
I think you're absolutely right. I still don't understand the format of that competition, but I still think you're absolutely right because you said it with such conviction.
He's up next, Steve.
Byung Hun An, 28-1 with AK Betts, who enjoyed his best finish in a major in the Masters. He finished 16th. That showed the progress he's made on the greens. You know, like Scott, Benny Ann used to really suffer on the dance floors. They've both made great strides using a long putter. Ann threatened to win in Hawaii at the start of the year. You might remember he was fourth in the Century, second in the Sony. He was eighth at Bay Hill. This is a really good golfer. You know, you go back to the good old days. Ann burst onto the scene at Wentworth. He won the US Amateur. We thought we've got an absolute superstar here. Putting's been the big issue, but it's been encouraging signs for him. I think he's dangerous again. He finished 14th on his TPC Craig Ranch debut last year. I see no reason why he's not on the leaderboard this week.
Okay, great stuff. Two more to go. Who's next?
Kyung Hoon Lee. 50-1 with AK Betts. Kyung Hoon Lee.
You're getting a bit brave with your vocal cords here. Just be careful because it's not a two tournament week.
No, you're right. Yeah, I won't be able to speak when we get to Singapore. But this fella, 62 under par for his 216 holes at TPC Craig Ranch. He won the first two Byron Nelsons at Craig Ranch. He's the king of McKinney. I'm surprised to see such juicy odds next to his name. You know, he's shown enough lately to suggest he can complete the hat trick this week. He was fourth in the Cognizant Classic at the start of last month, and he was ninth in the Valspar Championship. And then last week, with a pretty limited partner, without being offensive, in the shape of Michael Kim, he was 11th in the Zurich Classic. Those two, they combined for a Saturday 62 in the four balls. So it's a nice little warm-up spin for Lee. So, yeah, I was surprised he was so deep in the betting for this one.
Okay. Well, it's nice. It's nice to get nice surprises over the prices, isn't it? Ooh. It's usually the other way around. When you get a pleasant surprise, you should enjoy that moment.
I am going to enjoy that moment, chat. Yeah.
Good. One more for this one. Who is it?
Sam Stevens, 90-1 with AK Betts, who looks good enough to win on the PGA Tour for me. Born in Texas, 27 years old. He was 14th in the Texas Open on his last visit to the Lone Star State. He tied fourth in the Zurich Classic on Sunday with Paul Bajon as his partner. Yeah, that's a fantastic effort, isn't it? He's finished fourth with Paul Bajon. And they closed with a 64 in the foursomes on Sunday. I mean, it was windy on Sunday. Great, great, great Sunday effort from those two. Stevens was 34th. On his Craig Ranch debut last year, much more comfortable 12 months later on the PGA Tour. And he was second in the Texas Open last year. He loves coming to, you know, the state of his birth. Lively outsider.
Absolutely. Any at the top of the market that you were interested in? Spieth?
No interest in Spieth. No. Mr. Cut in the Masters. Injury niggles at Heritage. There was some wrist problems. I find him far from convincing. I was surprised he was at the top of the betting, to be perfectly frank. But yeah, he's obviously a Texas lad, massive following here. But not for me.
Okay, let's move over to LIV Golf. I know you're a big fan of LIV. Let's get stuck into that now. It's LIV Golf Singapore. Talk us through the layout.
The Serapong course, Sentosa Golf Club, Sentosa Island. I'm making you laugh a lot here without even meaning
you
to.
Yeah.
7,406 yards, par 71, three par fives. The Serapong course hosted the Singapore Open on the DP World Tour from 2005 through 2022. And then we had the inaugural LIV Singapore event there 12 months ago. Loads of bunks.
No, I was just going to say, have a sip of water. I don't think we're going to have a better concoction of golf course names than this week. Serapong, Hidden Grace, and TPC Craig Ranch. I mean, that has got everything, hasn't it?
You're absolutely right. And I can't wait to tell my daughter, who is called Grace, what the name of the tournament is. I mean, she hates golf because... she's always on in the house when she wants to watch other things. And she sees that you can get daddy a little bit hot under the collar at times. So she hates golf. But I'm going to tell her as soon as she gets back from school today that there's a golf course this week called Hidden Grace, named after her hide and seek exploits.
I think like hide and seek. like when your kids and you get involved with the Grand National or something, you should let her have a selection of her own this week and see who she picks and let us know. Just a little like, you know, it's, you know, Hao Tong Lee.
You make a really good idea there. I mean, Brandon Grace is playing so rubbish, isn't he? I used to like encourage her by backing Brandon Grace, and I remember he had a great chance in the US Open, and we don't talk about figures, but yeah, she'd only just be born, but I would have liked to have shown her the effects of that one. I'll never forget that one. That wasn't based on her name. That was just my own personal desire for backing Brandon Grace that week. But yeah, if Brandon Grace can start playing a bit better, and this golf course, shows off its quality, then maybe she'll get back into golf. But she hates golf at the moment. Okay. Sorry, I'm on a massive ramble now. I don't know where I'm going.
Back to Serapong. Let me go through the market leaders with AK Betts.
Great idea.
John Rahm is your 13-2 favorite. I'm sure Steve will have something to say about that. Joaquin Niemann 8-1. Tyrrell Hatton 12. Bryson DeChambeau 14s alongside Cam Smith. Brooks Koepka 16-1. Look at the rest. Live Golf Singapore. How many?
We have got two selections. Did I tell you about the inaugural Live Singapore event 12 months ago? So we got all that Singapore Open form and last year's Live Singapore. It's heavily bunkered course, lots of water, large undulating greens, and the weather's hot and humid. It'd be the last place I want to be in my current melee. Very sticky, sweaty week, but calm skies. Field of 54 going to post, and we must make the point that this starts 2:15 a.m. on Friday morning. So you've got to get your bets on before the middle of the night on Thursday night.
Absolutely. Who's the main pick, Steve?
Whack'em Niemann.
Going in again.
Niemann, 8-1 with AK Betts. Perfectly fair. The best player on the LIV circuit this year. Potentially the best player on the LIV circuit. I know that's a bold thing to say, but this success he's had this year comes as no surprise. We're talking about a former world number one amateur who spent 44 weeks atop the rankings. He was always supposed to develop into a superstar. He won twice on the PGA Tour before joining LIV. Then he won the Australian Open. Now he's won twice on the LIV circuit this season. This is a 25-year-old at the peak of his powers, living up to his potential. I make him the most likely winner of LIV Singapore. Rahm last week again, rubbish over the closing holes, and so lucky over the closing holes. Really loose off the tee, was hitting trees and then deflecting back into play. Still didn't win the tournament, tied third. Even with fortune, he doesn't seem to be able to hold it together over the closing holes. Joaquin Niemann played, and he's a course debutant this week. Sorry,
I guess just on John Rahm, for the John Rahm fans amongst us, they would say, well, he's playing rubbish and he's still up there every week.
It's that closing holes thing, though. I mean, every single event, he seems to buckle over the closing holes. I mean, it seems ridiculous, but his driving suddenly went to pot over the closing few holes. And it's statistically over the closing three or four holes, that statistically one of the worst players out of all the LIV players, and there's still some absolutely rubbish players on that circuit. He's statistically one of the worst.
Mental thing, then? It has to be, because he's got all the talent you need, hasn't he?
I think it is. It's really odd, because he's obviously such a fanfare when he joined, and obviously the longer he goes as a LIV maiden, the longer people will talk. You talk about the commentators sucking our souls out. John Rahm's got a lot more commentators going after his soul.
They're probably a lot more soul to suck as well.
it's an interesting debate to have. I think it is mental. I think it is mental. And he's coming to a new course this week. And Joaquin Niemann isn't. Joaquin Niemann played in this event last year, Jack. Carded a 70 on his first round at this course. He got detached. Closed with a pair of 66s. Finished eighth, and 12 months ago he was not in the same nick he's in now. His best finish, that eighth place last year was his best finish of the 2023 LIV season up to that point. So he quickly fell in love with the Serapong. This time, much more confidence in his locker. Third place in Adelaide on Sunday, just a continuation of excellent form. It's all about the Niemann for me. Should be favourite. AK Betts, we must mention AK Betts. he offers big prices and inferior each way terms in the standard 156 runner events. Big prices, big limits, which is exactly what the bookmaking industry needs. But in live events, 5 to 5 is perfectly competitive when thrown in with those, the big prices. So AK Bet's 5 to 5 on live events. I think the live packages that he's offering are incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Joachim Niemann going in again. Just such an exciting player, isn't he? One more for this. Who is it?
Sergio Garcia. 25 to 1.
I didn't know if there was any explanation. I would have loved for that. I'd actually love for you to do that 1 week. Just give a player and no explanation.
I will do that 1 week. I will do that 1 week, but I love talking about Sergio Garcia. I could spit a tonsil out doing that at the moment. But Sergio Garcia knows, we're talking about John Rahm not knowing this course. The Serapong is a course that Sergio Garcia knows like the back of his hand. He started playing this track in 2017, Jack. He finished 11th in the Singapore Open in 2017. Then he won the Singapore Open by 5 shots in 2018. He was 7th on his title defense in 2019. So hardly surprising when he made his return to the Serapong 12 months ago and had more course knowledge than anyone else in the field, he lost a playoff. So he took Taylor Gooch. He lost a playoff to Taylor Gooch in the inaugural Live Singapore. So his course credentials are impeccable. His record in Asia generally is superb. He's won 5 times on the Asian tour. I feel he's sure to threaten an overdue Live title this week. He's finished runner-up twice this season, Live Mayakoba, Live Miami, and he carded a Sunday 66 in Adelaide. Yeah, a lovely warm-up round to send him to Singapore in high spirits. So, yeah, two-pronged attack. The two players that competed in that Mayakoba playoff.
Just before we get back on to Sergio Garcia, can you hear a dull hum from my end?
Maybe the chopper's gone all the way from Weymouth to East Anglia.
There's a fighter jet going over the house.
Oh my gosh, something bad.
Well, something might be happening that we've missed while we've been chatting about Sergio Garcia. I mean, that would be a good way for it to all go. You know, a conversation about Sergio Garcia would be a nice way to go out, I think.
Yeah. Will this even make the airwaves, though? We were relying on the producer Dan there to get this out quickly, aren't we? If this is our last hurrah. I mean, I am in a bunker, but this is not a very stable bunker. I don't paint it as much as you should do. This is a very brittle.
You must be able to hear that. Let me just be quiet for a moment.
Yeah, I can.
That's loud.
Yeah. Blimey. Yeah, that's a,
anyway,
that is a fight.
Sergio Garcia. The staying power of Sergio Garcia over the years has been absolutely, as you say, he's still going really well.
He is. And 25 to 1 in a field full of, as I say, it's got a weak underbelly. These live events still have a weak underbelly. I can get him in the first 5. It's a 50 odds the first 5. You can definitely get Garcia in the first 5. I'm really like my live bets this week.
I mean, good betting fields, aren't they? Well, there we go. There's 12 selections across 3 tournaments for you. Well done, Steve. How are you feeling? Has that helped with the tonsillitis or just made it 10 times worse?
I think it went surprisingly well. I was worried I wouldn't be able to speak, and we're very, very close to concluding now. So that has raised my spirits. But I would like to. I got to thank Pills again. I know you think, Pills are the. I took some absolute crackers here. I got one that's got paracetamol and ibuprofen combined. Have you ever tried one of them?
Never had a combined one. No. What are your tactics for? There's often sort of old wives' tales, aren't there, about how you get rid of illnesses? Lots of lemon and honey and sweating it out in saunas and stuff. What's your preferred method other than medication?
Yeah, that's the only one I use really. Medication. I mean, I'd love an ice cream. I might ask my lady wife if she would purchase me a nice Solero or something. I can imagine slipping one of them in. That might help.
Get ice cream vans around you? Do they still sort of pop around the village from time to time?
Yeah, this time of the year is not quite at full throttle yet, are they? But I'll be all right. I'll bounce back. As long as Ronnie O'Sullivan stays in the snooker, I mean, that would finish me off if Ronnie gets knocked out of the snooker. He's playing this afternoon against Bullrung Bingham. As long as Ronnie stays fit for the next 7 days, I tell you what I might do later. Never mind getting me healthy. Use the tonsillitis in a positive way. Go and find Judd Trump and snog Judd Trump.
Spaghetti kiss him.
Yeah, I'll spaghetti kiss Judge Trump. I might get arrested, but it would probably be worth it. Then I can give Judge Trump tonsillitis. And by the time the semi-final against when he comes around, he won't be able to perform. So, yeah, I'm going to try and snog Judge Trump today. That's my main target.
Okay, good. I was going to say, what are you up to for the rest of the week? We know you'll snog him and you'll end the rest of the week in a cell somewhere. There we go. Let's recap this week's selections. Where did we start? We started in China, didn't we? The five for there.
Tom McKibben, Bernd Wiesberger, Jesper Svensson, Gavin Green, Jean-Wen Cole.
In the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson.
Adam Scott, Stephen Jager, Bai Hong Hun An, Kyung Hun Lee, Sam Stevens.
And Live Golf Singapore.
Wackham Neiman, third yoga here.
There we go. We'll be back next week. Just two next week, isn't it?
We'll be back next week, God willing. There's blooming sirens going off now. I think there's some sort of major incident happening in these green and pleasant lands today and there. But yeah, if we survive till next week, we'll have some golf on. I must admit, I haven't looked at next week yet.
One day at a time, Steve. Thanks very much. If you're following in with any of Steve's selections, please remember to do so responsibly. Reminder, with that new account offer with AK Bet, 50% of your stake back if your player misses the cut, free bet up to £50. The code is sweetspot50. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.